Well, come on, church. Let me welcome all of us together, all of our campuses. Come on, show your love from our Lakewood Ranch campus to our Bee Ridge and our Fruitville. Come on, keep it going for our West Bradenton, our Bradenton Dream Center, our Riverview, our North River campus, and all those watching online and in the jail system. Come on, show your love for our family, church. Woo! That was a mouthful. And we got a big family. Hey, my name is Jordan, and what an honor and a privilege it is to be here with you, to be able to share God's word with you today. And let me not take another moment without first giving honor where honor is due and say thank you to our pastors, Pastor Randy, Pastor Amy. Come on, don't you just love your pastor? Can we honor them today? We love you guys. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I honor you and I love you, pastors. And man, today is the final wrap up to our series on fear called Phobia. And you know, as we've kind of gone through this series, it's made me realize that, man, fear is everywhere. Fear is in our jobs, it's in our media, it could be carried in our lives, in our homes, in our movies. It's everywhere. You know, if you think about it, it's a different feeling that we have today when your doorbell rings as opposed to 30 years ago. 30 years ago, your doorbell rings, that was a happy moment in your life. It's called company. You're there sitting on the couch with your entire family, TGIF, come on, Full House, Family Matters, Step by Step, the dynamic trio, and your doorbell rings. The whole family jumps off the couch. Oh my gosh! Someone's at the door. Turn the lights on. And your whole family then proceeded to go to the front door. All the kids, we were in our socks. We slid up to the front door. Nobody checked to see who was at the door. Now you just open it and you're like, oh my gosh, look who it is. Look at him. And you then proceed to say, what are you guys doing here? And they respond, I was in the neighborhood. Thought I might stop by, see how the kids are doing. They were from Jersey. And you say, oh, well, come on in. We're about to have some cake. And your mother would go to Walmart. She'd buy this Sara Lee crumble cake. And she would say, hey, that's only reserved for company. And so you're praying to God that some company would come over because you want some cake. And she'd set it in the middle of the table so proud. Cut yourself a slice. We're going to do some coffee? Y'all want coffee? She put a pot of coffee on the table. Nobody had a cell phone back then. And if your house phone did ring, your father would sit up and he'd say, nobody get that phone. We got company. Hours would go by. You know, a couple hours would go by and say, look at the time. Oh my, we got to get out of here. And they say, that's okay. Next time we're going to come by your place. They say, my door's always open. Now your doorbell rings. Beep, boop. Kristen's crawling on the ground. Kristen, get in the closet. Army crawl, army crawl. I'm sending Cohen into the living rooms. Cohen, go under in the couch, under the couch. Grab my sword. Bring me the sword. Bring me the sword that's under the couch. Just bring it to me. And then you have to ask your family, did you ask anybody to come over? Did you ask anybody to come over? And then there's always that person who's upstairs who never heard anything. And they just kind of come down to like, why are all the lights off? And you're like, get down. Somebody's at the door. They're outside. Oh my gosh, I think they saw movement. Now I gotta go and answer the door. I got no cake. I got no coffee for these people. I got nothing for them. It's a mighty different feeling. Everybody knows now. You just can't show up at somebody's house. If you do, you have to call from the driveway. Hey, it's just me and three other people. We're going to approach from the south side entrance, if that's okay. Is that Kristen with a sword? Why does she have a sword? Man, if you think about it, fear is everywhere right now. It's just taking over our lives and our relationships. It's stealing our peace. Man, it's even confiscating our doorbells. But as long as we continue to hang out with fear, it will continue to prevent our progress in every area of our life. It's going to continue to hold us back and to get us to run away from things that we should be confronting. And for what? All for a little emotional suffering? And which one of us wants some of that? You know, but we've learned some things in this series. Come on, have you enjoyed this series up until now? Has this been good for anybody else but me? And we've learned some things, and the most important thing by far that we have learned is found in what is in God's word and what it teaches us about fear in 2 Timothy. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And if you've missed any part of this series, I want to encourage you to go back and rewatch it. Pastor David started this series, just did an amazing job teaching us that there is a fear that will keep us from harm and keep us from trouble, but there is also a spirit of fear, which 2 Timothy teaches us. And out of that, it can take over our lives if we are not careful. It will cripple us, it will debilitate us, it will keep us from progressing forward in our lives. And then Pastor Randy in week two and week three taught us how to overcome the fear of man and the fear of failure. Incredible, incredible insight. And listen, if you wrestle with fear, I want to encourage you, go back, watch this over and over and over again. Gain these tools, gain this truth so that you can move forward in freedom and without fear. Amen? And today, we're going to focus our time on the fear of the unknown. Or another way to say it would be the fear of the future. Now, I think that this is probably the most common fear that we all wrestle with. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to know what's coming. I want to know what's going to happen before it happens. And maybe you're a person who likes to fly by the seat of your pants and you don't need to know anything. My only advice for you is to get a calendar, you hippie. Because for the rest of us, we want to know what's going to happen before it happens. And all the control freaks said amen. All right, so I'm not alone. That was a test. Thank you for being here with me today. But God leaves out so many details in our lives, doesn't he? I mean, and it's not just in our lives. If we look throughout God's word and even the stories that we've talked through about fear, we see that time and time again that it wasn't that they didn't have fear. It's just that they moved through fear. They didn't let fear hold them back. They kept moving forward. And this fear of the unknown is really everywhere in God's word. I mean, think about it. Noah didn't even know what an ark was. Moses was so afraid of the unknown of how Pharaoh was going to respond to him that God had to give him a sidekick before he would even move. And then you think about Mary. Somehow she's going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. Listen, you wake up pregnant one day and then you come talk to me about fear of the unknown. That's real. And in Hebrews 11, it really storyboards a lot of these, what we would call heroes of our faith. And what is so important is that it wasn't that they did not have fear. No, they had fear just like you and I, and especially this fear of the unknown. God would give them something and then not them knowing where to go or what to do next. But it was in spite of fear. I want you to hear me. It was in spite of fear that they move forward in faith. And I love how Hebrews 12 just really wraps up as it kind of storylines all of these heroes. And it says, "Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished his race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility that he plowed through. And that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Here, listen to me. Today, I believe that God wants to give you a shot of adrenaline into your souls. And I just pray right now that you are anticipating that there is freedom over fear in Jesus' name. Come on, and if you want that, let's just go to the Lord in prayer and let's prepare our hearts as we continue to just unfold what his word says and how he has equipped us to overcome fear. Father, we thank you. Your presence is here. And right now, we speak to fear and we say, get out of here in Jesus' name. And Lord, we make room in our hearts to receive your truth. Speak to us today, God. Let us have ears to hear and a heart to receive so that fear cannot overcome our lives in any regard from this day forward. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's look a little further at this topic today and as we ask the question, why are we so often consumed with fear of the unknown? What are the thought processes or the theories that we have and roll around in our mind when it comes to this fear of the unknown? Let me give you three. Here's the first one. If we could see how it all turns out, then we would be all right. Come on, you ever had that thought before? If we could see how it all turns out, then it would be all right. And maybe for you, it's the questions of, man, do I make it through college or am I gonna flunk out? Is this marriage gonna last or is it inevitable that it's never gonna work out? Am I ever gonna get married? Am I ever gonna get married again? If I knew, then I could bear it. Or maybe for you, it would sound like I've been working on my talent. I've been working on my photography. I've been working on my blog. I've been working on my voice. I've been working on all these things. And is it ever gonna go? Is it ever gonna be seen? Am I ever gonna get discovered? Because this hustle is hard. But if I could just know the outcome, then I would be all right. Listen, if you think what you know is going to overcome what you don't know, and that fear is just gonna go away by that process, I'm sorry to tell you, it is a lie from the pit of hell. It is the devil playing you like the Wizard of Oz. It's smoke and mirrors. He is sitting behind a curtain just trying to get you just all caught up on the wrong things, and he's sitting back there and he's laughing. And it's a lie. It's a lie. It's not gonna work out. That theory is wrong, and that theory is setting you up for failure in your future. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 2. He says, "For I have resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." You know, Paul was a smart guy. I mean, highly educated, probably a thinker. And yet he says, I don't know anything. I've resolved in myself that I just don't know anything. I think what Paul is trying to tell us is get comfortable not knowing. Because I did, and I want to encourage you to do the same. Listen, we don't need to know the future as long as we know the one who's holding it. Come on, somebody. And it's this theory of fear that, man, if we just knew, then we would be okay. Here's the second theory. When we don't know, just ask, what if? Come on, does your mind ever go into what if mode? I mean, you just kind of go there, and it's really this fantasy world of fear. Think about it. Fear's not rational. It's not logical, but it wants you to ponder the question, what if? And the spirit of fear would love to just give you every equation that you could possibly think of, and even the ones that are just kind of out there in left field, just sitting alone. But I'm telling you this, what if is just a fantasy of fear, and we fall into this fantasy of fear. It's a trap that's setting us up for horrific outcomes, uncharacteristic actions, and if we're not careful, a spiritual heart attack. See, I remember the day that my daughter was born, and I remember the doctor saying these words, "I think that we should run some blood work because I think she has Down syndrome." And that day put so much fear inside of me. This fear of the unknown, those words just struck fear in me. And then the partnership with the spirit of fear would become inseparable when I had another doctor a year and a half later said that she has AML leukemia. And that fear would lead me down a path of wrong thinking, wrong perspective, wrong choices, wrong questions, wrong doing. And I tried to even self-prescribe myself to ward off fear, deny the fear, take melatonin and go to bed. But it didn't work. And I remember going to counseling when Charlotte was first born, and I didn't go back for quite some time. I went one time and I never came back. And then when she went through the process of her chemotherapy and 7 months at All Children's, I remember reaching a breaking point and finally going to a place to say, you know, I need some help. I am dead on the inside. Fear has killed me. I went back to my counselor and he said, "Do you remember what you told me when you first came to me?" And I said, "No." He looked back through his notes and he said, "You said that having Charlotte scares you and it shakes your faith, but you didn't come back. You didn't come back, Jordan. So instead of overcoming my fear of the unknown, I just replaced my pursuit of overcoming the fear with just deep, faith-crushing questionings. What if Charlotte dies? What if I can't do this? What if I don't know how to be a father to a child with disability? What if I lose my job? How is my family going to be taken care of? What if I die right now, and what do they have left? What if I die in this car? What if I die in this elevator? What if, what if, what if? Come on, has the devil ever played with you like that? See, what I learned is you really don't need reality for fear to set in. All you really need is an imagination. And here's the third theory of the fear of the unknown, what it kind of puts us in. It says the only way to know your future is to be the one in control of your future. You know what's interesting about this thought and this theory is how unstable it really is. I mean, because you and I don't even know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes, let alone the next year. And yet we have this theory that we buy into, and here's what you do. You assume the throne seat of God in your life to give your heart a sense and a feeling of control, predicting your future, prophesying your future. You're playing the role of God. And he's the only one that can truly play that role well. And if you do and you kind of set in his throne, you're playing a very dangerous game in your heart. You know, when we try to figure out the future, instead of looking to God, we look and partnering with his word, which is what we should do. Instead of that, we forecast our future, or some would call it fortune telling. And listen, fortune telling, as weird as it sounds, is a form of witchcraft. Now, I'm not calling you a witch, and I'm not saying that you do witchcraft, but I am saying that when you are fortune telling for your future, It is a form of witchcraft, and it is a very dangerous game to play with your heart. You know, in my studies, I was just really taken back to find statistics of how many believers, how many Christ followers seek out the advice of psychics and tarot card readings and all of these things. And maybe they are unsure, maybe they don't know that God forbids this. And they kind of just, maybe the convincing argument that the devil has placed in us, if that we've even stepped into those arenas before, is that, hey, it's just for fun. It's just for fun. But Leviticus 19 says it's not for fun. God says, don't dabble in the occult or traffic with mediums. You'll pollute your souls. And then he reminds us, I am God. I'm the one who knows the future. I'm the one who wrote the future. And don't forget, I'm your God. I'm your God. Look, maybe you're in here and you're thinking to yourself, man, Jordan, I've done that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that was in there. And listen, the devil would love to put condemnation on you right now. Hear me. There is not a place or anything that you could participate in that the name of God is not bigger than. And he has grace for you. It does not matter what you've done, but I'm just giving you the truth so that the truth will lead you to freedom in your future. Don't buy into that condemnation, okay? So here's what I want you to understand. We don't have to control our future. We don't have to look to someone else to tell us. All we need to do is open up God's word, because Philippians 1:6 says that he who began a good work in me will see it to completion. And Romans 8:28 says, for he makes all things work together for the good of those who love him. And Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and he will make your path straight. So you want to know your future? Go to God's word. He's already told you how it's going to be. So we don't have to worry. We don't have to go to somebody else. Even in our best planning and foresight, your plans will never be as good as his, because he's already been there. He's already seen it. He's already done it. And that would make it pretty safe to say that he's going to do a lot better job planning his future than you or I will ever. The war, this war of fear, this battle with fear, the war is for our heart. But the battle is in our mind. You know, I've had these thought processes. I've said every one in my own thought life. I've believed them. Maybe you would say me too. But here's the truth. And the truth will set us free. And if we look to God's word, if we can see what he tells us and how he showed us how to overcome the fear of the unknown, or any fear for that matter, how do we overcome his fear? The first thing he always does, and he's shown us from the very beginning, that even when fear exists, we take a step and we do it afraid. We do it afraid. You know, I've heard it said before that just because fear is in the car doesn't mean it's the one driving. You know, some of you maybe need to see yourself right now getting out of the driver's seat of your life and walking around the backside of the car, putting yourself in that passenger seat and said, God, you take the wheel. I've kind of been steering my life into too many different directions, and I know that it's not you, so why don't you take the wheel? And you know what God does? We're riding shoddy, and he just looks at us and he goes, hey, I know you don't know where we're going, but I want you to know that I have a plan for you. God doesn't have to look at the road. It's a self-driving car. I have a plan for you, and it's a plan to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. So buckle up, put on some tunes. Come on, you're the car DJ. Settle in. You know, look, get into the center console. I put a little Miracle Manna snack in there for you. Go ahead and get you a few. You know, and listen, don't ask, are we there yet? Don't ask if we're there yet. Listen, we will get there when we get there. Every parent's ever said it, and God is no different. Listen, don't worry about it, where we're going. I've got good things in store for you. And Proverbs 16:9 says, we can make our own plans, but it's the Lord who decides where we will go. Come on, aren't you glad for that? That just to take the weight off of our shoulders and allows peace to come in. God is leading, God is driving this, and even though fear may be in the car, he's not the one driving anymore. You know, when Charlotte was diagnosed and fear was all consuming, this path of restoration that I found, this freedom from fear, was really in a split decision. Run to God and do it afraid. And the more I thought about it, as I looked over the options, the only real option was to do it afraid. And so I did it. And I'm here to say from the testimony of my life and the freedom I found from the partnership with the spirit of fear, listen, you can walk in freedom. You can overcome fear. You can overcome anxiety. You can overcome depression. It's just about you taking that initial step and doing it afraid. And here's what happens. You take one step followed by another. And before you know it, God's teaching you how to walk without fear in partnership. And it's a walk in authority. See, I don't know if you know this, but you've got authority. Listen, you gotta walk around like you own the place. Some of y'all just need a peacock a little bit. And you just need to strut your stuff. Come on, you got some swag. You just need to kind of just, hey, I got authority because of Jesus Christ in my life. And when you have authority, the power of the enemy really is crippled and it has no more power over you. See, here's what Jesus said about the authority he's given to us. He said, listen carefully. I have given you authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, that word, those words, serpents and scorpions, we're not talking about the animal kingdom. We're talking about a spiritual warfare. And those serpents and scorpions, it's referencing demonic powers or spirits. And so God's saying, you have authority now over demonic powers and spirits and the ability to exercise authority over the power of the enemy, Satan, and nothing in any way will harm you. Come on, do you know that? I mean, do you realize that the enemy doesn't have the authority over you? Yeah, he has power and he's gonna try to just bring you down from time to time if you allow him, but Satan knows that he doesn't have authority over you. So once you start walking in authority and you operate in authority, not from you, but from Christ in you, and when you start to say, no, devil, it doesn't work that way anymore. I have authority that's been given to me through Christ Jesus. So your fear game, it's over. You've lost. I'm victorious. Because I'm walking in authority in Jesus' name. And here's the thing. On the cross, Jesus deactivated, dismantled, and disarmed Satan's rule forever over your life. That's the truth. And may the truth set you free in this moment. So how do you do it? How do you not partner with fear anymore? You speak to fear in authority. You speak out loud to it and you say, fear, get out of my heart in Jesus' name. And in that moment, fear has to leave. But here's the thing, in our heart, your mind, will, and emotions, in that moment, as fear has left it, now you have a void. And you have to also, in authority, ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill it, because he's a gentleman. You have to say, Holy Spirit, come and fill my heart with you. Where fear has squatted, where it's lingered, in every dark corner, in every crevice, in every crack that it has lingered, would you come and replace those things with your perfect love? I always play 1 John 4. There is no fear in love, but it's your perfect love that casts out fear. So bring in everywhere fear has lingered, bring in your perfect love, because there's no more room for him in my life. It's in authority. And lastly, we speak his name. We speak his name. I gave you a little hint even in casting out fear. You say, fear, get out of my heart. It's in Jesus' name. You know, we started this series in Matthew 14, Pastor David teaching us about this epic story in the Bible, and the disciples are on a boat and there's a storm and they think they're gonna die. It's a fear-filled situation. They see this thing out on the water. They think it's a ghost and they are scared to death. They are freaking out. The boat's about to capsize. And you know what it says in verse 26? It says, they cried out in fear. Now, do you know the difference between crying out in fear and crying out in faith? You know, we would think that the disciples would cry out in faith, but it says that they cried out in fear. When you cry out in fear, it's like, oh my God, we're gonna die! But you know what a cry of faith would sound like? Jesus, you're my God! But it didn't say that they did that. You know, your fear is real. Sometimes, maybe you can't cry out in faith, but even a cry in fear, Jesus will meet you. Jesus will meet you whether you cry out in faith or whether you cry out in fear, and he does it, but there's a way in which to cry out that ensures the steps of our future that God has planned for us. And if we look at the story, you know, they said, oh, is it a ghost? Is it a ghost? And he says, fear not, for it is I. And then Peter says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come on the water. He said, come. Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat. Hey, he did it afraid. And walked on the water, started walking in authority, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid all over again. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Have you ever thought, how in the world, in the first place, did Peter even see Jesus, right? They kind of saw this image, it was a ghost, but in a storm, the clouds are covering the moon and the stars, so there's no real light. They're in the middle of a sea, and man, the boat is tipping one way to another, almost capsizing, and so they see the waves, and they're just freaking out, and yet, how did Peter see? It's very easy. He heard Jesus say, come. And then you have Peter on one side. He has what he heard. But then on the other side, it says that he saw the wind. Now, how do you see the wind? You see, Peter was mistaken, and fear will sometimes do that. It'll make you think you see things that aren't real, but he didn't see the wind. He saw the effects of the wind. He saw what the wind did to the waves. And then he felt the wind. And isn't it crazy to think that sometimes what we see and what we feel is so much louder than what we heard and when we hear the voice of the Lord? So on one side, he hears the word of God, and on the other side, he has what he sees and what he feels. This is the first game that's ever been recorded of Marco Polo. And Peter cries out, if it's you, Lord, he says, come. Marco, okay, you know how to play. Marco, but here's the thing. Peter stopped crying out. You know, I think that if Peter would have just said the name of Jesus and just kept crying out to him, that he would have made it to Jesus. But because he heard just one word, because he was focused on, listen, you can't make it through this life on last year's word. You can't make it through this life on last Sunday's word. You can't make it in this life on the little word that pops up on your screen as the verse of the day. No, you gotta cry out and you gotta keep crying out. And it silences the storm. It silences the fear. And you just say his name, Jesus. And he calls back to you, come, Jesus. Come, Jesus, come. I play this game every day, except my game's called Jordan and Jesus. And I just keep saying, Jesus, Jordan. Jesus Jordan. And I know where he's leading me. I know the next step to take. It just helps me to understand that I can do it and I can do it afraid. I can walk in authority when I call his name because I know where I'm going. And as long as I keep speaking his name, he gives me direction for my life. I don't have to fear my future, but I can know my future is good in his hands. Come on, let's stand to our feet, all of us at all of our campuses. We're gonna speak the name of Jesus. I want you to speak his name. I want you to cry it out. Come on, let's just say Jesus. Come on, you say it. Jesus. Come on, say it with authority. Say Jesus. Jesus. Come on, just say it one more time really loud so he can hear you. Jesus. Now let me ask you, where is fear right now? It's gone. Is it in your mind? Is it in your heart? I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Come on, let's sing.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace within your presence. Starts to flee, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be
your
saved.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
Break every stronghold. It says even the demons are submitting to us in his name. Come on.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus.
Come on, let's cry out his name. I've never taken that step. I've never walked in such authority that you speak of. Listen, in this moment, I want to ask every head bowed and every eye closed that if you're in here and you say, I'm tired of doing my life with fear. I don't want to do it with fear anymore. I want to do it with Jesus. Maybe you don't know who this Jesus is. Let me tell you. He came to this earth. He died a horrific death for every one of your sins, past, present, and future. And by his blood, it covered and washed you clean, cleansed you, and made you righteous. But the gift of salvation is just that. It is a gift that you have to receive. And so if you want to receive that gift this morning, Romans says that all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord. And he begins to teach you how to walk and walk with him. So on the count of three, if that's you, maybe for the first time, or maybe you want to rededicate your life today. One, two, three. Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus is here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now look, if you raised your hand or you wanted to raise your hand, all of us together as one big church family, we are going to support those that just said, I want to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. And so let's all pray this prayer along with them. And there's no magic to this prayer, but it has to come from your heart.
Yeah.
And so would you say out loud, would you say, Jesus, thank you.
Jesus, thank you.
Thank you for the cross.
Thank you for the cross.
Thank you that you forgave all of my sins. And I see it now. I don't want to do life how I have. I want to step into the life you've called me to. And so I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Come on, can you celebrate those? Can we shout in this place? There's a party. Come on, let's continue to worship him. We shout from the mountaintop. We shout in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Other people. may it be seen in our action and in our words. When you, those who trusted Christ for the first time, we celebrate you. We are so glad you're part of the family of God. Come on, church. Welcome to God's family. Welcome to a bunch of normal people. We are worshiping an incredible God, and we want to help you. Please, 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 stop at the Connect table. There's a Connect center outside the doors, the right, the left. Also online, there's a link there. We want to help you grow. It's not just a decision and that's it. It's a lifestyle. It's a relationship. If you don't have a Bible, we want to give you a Bible. We want to help you grow in the ways of God. Connect you to a group of people, a community, so we can also grow in Christ together. Actually, today, this Sunday, we have baptisms just outside on my left, on your right, to the left. If you've never gone through the waters of baptism and that act of obedience to say, God, I trust you. I want to publicly declare that I belong to you. Stop by. We have all the gear to change into and all that. You'll be fine. It's Florida. It's warm anyway. Don't worry about it. But guys, as you leave today, I pray that you're filled with hope. Not in a feeling, but in a God who's the one who conquers fear. So as I pray over you today, we are literally going into the world proclaiming the name of Jesus. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word today. We thank you that even though we don't know what's going on in the future, Lord, we know the one who holds it. So Lord, our trust is in you. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters right now as we leave this place and as we go into the mission field. Lord, may we be the bearers of the name of Jesus. Lord, give us an opportunity this week to tell someone about Jesus. Give us an opportunity this week to show the love of Christ, Lord. And Lord, I pray that this week, Lord, when fear comes a knocking and we are under pressure, Lord, we will say, Lord, we trust you. We're going to speak the name of Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. And we pray it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. May the Lord bless you, church. There's prayer partners that are going to be here. If you want prayer for anything, please come on down. Let's pray together. Let's continue worshiping on your way out.